And welcome. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine Davis, the host of today's program, and we have a really interesting program for you today. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to be speaking about pain and the truth about chronic pain treatments, and we're going to be speaking a little bit about pain management and what we can really do to transform, to help ourselves in a way that isn't going to cause other kinds of side effects and conditions. And our guest will be Cindy Perlin. But before getting to that, I wanted to share with you something that is coming up this weekend so that you can put it on your calendar for Saturday. And this is an event taking place in the Bronx. Assemblywoman Latoya Joyner invites you to her second annual Women's History Month Wellness Celebration. And it's rare that we're able to talk about things that are taking place in the Bronx, but this is something I think is special. And it's this coming Saturday, March 26th, from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. And the location is PS 073 in the Bronx. And the address for that is 1020 Anderson Avenue in the Bronx, New York, 10452. And for this activity, it's free. And they're actually offering free massage therapy from 1 to 3 p.m. And there's meditation from 11 a.m. till 12. Yoga from 12 p.m. till 1 p.m., and Zumba from 1 till 3. So you'll have an opportunity to chill out, work with your body in a gentle way, and also invigorate yourself with the Zumba exercises, and also have a free massage. And I think that this is something that is very special. Assemblywoman Joyner is fighting for women in her community. And she's really been working on victories for children, for parents, and for women locally in the Bronx in her assembly district, which is the 77th district in the Bronx. So I want to support her. And for those of you who would like to attend that event, I am participating in the event, so I'll be there as well, offering some meditation and gentle Qigong movement. So for more information, you can call 718-538-2000. That's 718-538-2000. And now we're going to get to the main topic of today's program. And I'm very happy to introduce to you my guest for today. And that is Cindy Perlin. Cindy Perlin is the author of The Truth About Chronic Pain Treatments and the Best Strategies and Worst Strategies for Becoming Pain-Free. So we're going to be talking today about, do we really need to use prescribed opioids, drugs, for our pain management? And it's important for us to consider, because many of these prescriptions, as we will hear, cause side effects. And Cindy Perlin is a licensed clinical social worker, certified biofeedback practitioner, chronic pain survivor, past president of the Northeast Regional Biofeedback Society, and, as I said, author of the book, The Truth About Chronic Pain. And she has lived and worked in Albany, and where she has been helping clients reach their health and wellness goals for 25 years. Her website is cindyperlin.com, or is it cindy.perlin.com? And you can go there and actually get a free download of 5 best self-help tools for healing chronic pain. So I say hello and welcome, Cindy, to Heart of Mind Radio.
Hi, Catherine.
It's so nice to have you with me here today. And I am kind of excited about this topic because very often when people are prescribed pain medication, this is on top of other medications, and the side effects and combined side effects can be something additional to deal with. Can you tell us something about what has occurred as a result of the specific category of prescription opioids?
Yes. Well, it is a problem to do drug combinations, especially if you have more than one drug that's sedating. For instance, the anti-anxiety drugs like Xanax and Klonopin. But the opioids in and of themselves are quite dangerous. Millions of Americans have become addicted to opioids, often when taking them as directed. And so far, by official count, 169,000 people have died of overdoses of prescription opioids. So they are a very dangerous category of drugs, and we're unique in the world as a country in terms of our use of them. Other countries around the world, some with very fine healthcare systems, do not find it necessary to use these opioids.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying that in the United States that there are higher levels of this prescription.
Yes, we actually use almost 100% of the world supply of hydrocodone and over 80% of the world supply of oxycodone.
Yeah,
so probably with the exception of Canada, we're the only country that is using them. And Canada is also developing a opioid prescription overdose problem of their own.
Hmm. So you said overdose. How is that different from just the regular side effects?
Well, overdose means that you have taken enough of the drug to risk death. And most people who take an overdose do die.
Wow.
Some people manage to get treatment in time and don't die. But the regular side effects of drugs or addiction, which is much more common than the pharmaceutical companies led doctors to believe, the rates of addiction for patients taking opioids as prescribed has been found to be anywhere from 3% to 50% of the people who take the drugs get addicted. Mm-hmm. And this means that you have a craving for the drug. You can't stop taking it, even though there's negative consequences. If you stop taking the drug, the withdrawal is bad enough that you're driven to get more of the drug no matter what the consequences. So millions of people have become addicted. Even in the absence of addiction, there's a lot of negative consequences. For instance, it suppresses your immune system. It makes you more prone as a result to infections and cancer. It's also sedating enough that it interferes with driving, which puts not only the patient at risk, but other people on the road with the patient. 14% of pregnant women are taking opioids, and that puts the baby at risk. It can cause stillbirth, birth defects, miscarriages, and babies can be born addicted and mm-hmm. have to go through withdrawal after birth. So there's a lot of negative consequences of taking opioids. And there isn't any other drug or pain treatment that's available that has all these negative consequences.
Hmm. Well, and I imagine that it's also contributing to the level of suicide rates, which I understand is growing certainly in our country at this moment. Are they?
Well,
they seem fairly easy to acquire.
Well, it is easy to kill yourself with opioids if that's your goal. Most deaths from opioids are accidental.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's hard to tell with a pain patient whether their death was intentional or accidental because pain patients have twice the suicide rate of the general population. But
wow.
It appears that most of the overdose deaths that we're seeing are unintentional.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And what can people do if they are working with pain, if they do have some kind of chronic pain situation? What would you recommend people do to deal with that or to work with it?
Well, there's many, many ways to deal with pain. If you want to go the drug route and it's short term, you can use non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen and acetaminophen. If you combine those in an acute situation, according to the National Safety Council, you get much better pain relief than you do with an opioid. Another drug that's much, much safer to use that's not always available is marijuana. Marijuana actually is a drug that does not risk someone's life. No one has ever died of a marijuana overdose in the history of the world, and it's actually a very powerful pain reliever with fewer side effects. But I happen to like non-drug approaches like mind-body treatments and massage and chiropractic, energy-based treatments like therapeutic touch, physical therapy. There's many, many, many options for managing pain. And the main problem is that people are unaware of these treatments, and insurance doesn't cover them.
Yeah, that is an unfortunate aspect of our medical industry, that it really works hand-in-hand and supports the drug industry. But you go ahead, yeah.
I'm starting a petition. I've started a petition on change.org to urge Congress and the President to pass a Pain Treatment Parity Act, which would require insurances to pay for these treatments and require that doctors be educated about them.
Well, that sounds like a really proactive and valuable effort. How can people get involved with your petition?
Well, the easiest way to find the petition is to go to my website, which is cindyperlin.com. That's C-I-N-D-Y, P like in Peter, E-R-L-I-N.com. And there's a tab for my petition, and you can read the petition, and then you can link to the change.org site to sign the petition. And it would be great if I would like to get hundreds of thousands of signatures, because I think that that's what pain patients need. They need hands-on treatment. They need compassionate care. They need to learn how to manage their pain, because the drugs just treat the symptoms. They don't get at the root causes. And a lot of these other treatments address the problem itself, and then you get rid of the problem. I've talked to people who've been on opioids for 30 years, and you don't get anywhere. Your body starts making less natural painkillers very early on, and all the studies show that if people are on chronic opioid therapy, they actually have more pain, less function, lower quality of life than similar patients who never got on opioids.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is very important information for people who are being given this choice in the now moment. But for people who are on opioids, who have been using them, how would you recommend that they make the transition from this kind of pain treatment to a more natural and holistic method?
Well, the absolute best way, but it's very difficult to find, is a multidisciplinary pain treatment program where there's medical supervision to wean yourself off drugs while you learn cognitive behavioral therapy techniques. You get a chance to maybe do biofeedback. You get physical therapy and an exercise program. Those programs are not very available, so patients have to create their own facsimile of it. So what patients can do is start to very gradually wean off the drugs. You don't want to stop cold turkey because it can be very dangerous. So you want to very gradually lower your dose while you incorporate other methods. As I said, if you can access medical marijuana, if you can learn some relaxation techniques or go for biofeedback treatment, if you can get a massage. And if people go to my website, cindyperlin.com, I do have a free download, the 5 best self-help tools for healing chronic pain, and everything in it together would cost under $100. and would be a really good start in terms of helping people transition to a better way of dealing with their pain.
Okay, so you're saying that if they were to access the recommendations, that's about what it would cost them to spend to access all the
recommendations.
Right, the
recommendations are free.
Okay.
But the tools and the recommendations, if they were to get all of them, cost less than $100. And even one of them, for instance, one of them is a very simple biofeedback device that measures hand temperature. The warmer your hands, the less stressed you are, the more relaxed you are. And I have a little meditation in the handout to get more relaxed. So if you pair that with the biofeedback device, which costs about $22, you can learn to naturally relax your body. And when you relax your body, you have a lot of changes in your physiology that help with pain.
Yes.
For instance, your muscles relax and your blood flow becomes normal and your extremities get more blood flow and there's less inflammation. So just accessing that one tool and using it can be very, very helpful. In fact, that's what turned my life around after 3.5 years of disabling back pain was I learned how to warm my hands with biofeedback. And almost immediately there was a 50% decrease in my pain.
Well, this is very useful. I think biofeedback is very useful, and probably the device might be very useful for people to be able to measure and see their progress. However, I would say that it certainly isn't required. People could follow your advice and begin that approach and follow that path, and the devices may be very helpful, but I don't want people to feel like they can't do it without having some kind of device.
Well, that is very true, that you can't do it without the device. The benefit of the device is that as Americans, we're very out of touch with our bodies, and we are not sensitive to changes, and often I find people give up. They say, oh, I can't do that, that didn't work. But if they could see even tiny amounts of progress, it's very helpful. So any relaxation technique is very worthwhile for anybody because when we're relaxed, it helps our health on every level. I do find that having a measurement that tells you, oh, that is working, even though I think it's not, is helpful.
And for people who may not explain the mechanism of biofeedback, can you explain that?
Sure. Well, there's different kinds of biofeedback. What they have in common is that you're measuring some aspect of your body. So I just mentioned hand temperature, which is important because your hands cool when you're stressed. So the warmer your hands are, the more relaxed you are. You can measure muscle tension and learn how to relax your muscles by being able to know when they're tense and when they're not. You can measure heart rate, respiration rate. A very powerful technique is measuring the electrical activity of your brain and learning how to modify that, which is very useful for chronic pain patients because when someone's in chronic pain, it actually changes your brain, makes your brain overactivated and oversensitive to pain signals. And brainwave biofeedback, also known as neurofeedback, can change that, can teach you how to modify that. So all kinds of biofeedback are very helpful for many conditions, and what they have in common is that they're giving you information so that you can see, as a result of what you do, what's happening in your body. As a result of a negative thought, what's happening. As a result of a joyful thought, what's happening. When you meditate, what's happening, and it just teaches you how to modify your body so that your body's healthier and more functional.
And I think that can be very useful, especially, I would think, for someone who is mitigating or working with a pain issue, because it gives an extra level of focus so that the attention is taken off the pain and put on to this process of working with changing the measurements, and then as they witness these changes, It can give them more confidence that something is actually occurring inside of their body. And I believe that, that just having that feedback in itself can be helpful for people who are, as you said, maybe out of touch with their body, either because of the pain or maybe just anyway because we're Americans, you know, people are out of touch with their bodies. And so it can be very useful. And just beyond pain, I was wondering if you could also speak to the importance of considering these kind of techniques that you're talking about for other issues. So, for instance, if a person has high blood pressure, hypertension, or if they're dealing with some other kind of health issue, how does this biofeedback process or meditation relaxation process affect health on a wider spectrum?
Well, it has very pervasive effects on health, as does stress, because what happens is when you have a worry or fear thought, you are going, you're moving your body towards what's called fight or flight response or the stress response, and that means that all kinds of changes are happening in the body to prepare you for fight or flight. So your muscles are getting more tense, your heart rate and blood pressure are going up, your blood flow is being withdrawn from the extremities into the heart, lungs, and brain, so you can think fast and run fast. And then functions of the body that are not necessary in the moment, if you had to flee something dangerous like a tiger chasing you, those are suppressed. So you have suppressed immunity, you have suppressed digestion, you have a suppressed immune response. So all these changes are happening that if they're momentary, if you really were just out running a tiger, they would go away as soon as you were in a safe place. But with people being chronically worried and fearful in their lives, what happens is that they stay in this fight or flight response, and all of these changes in the body become relatively enduring, and that affects health on just about every level of your body, so that you're more prone to every kind of illness and disease.
And before we wrap up, I really want to talk for a few minutes about your book, The Truth About Chronic Pain Treatments, The Best and Worst Strategies for Becoming Pain-Free. Now, I'm sure what we've discussed is contained within the book as well.
Right.
But also you expand upon some of the things that people can do to work through pain. And I'm wondering if you can explain your book, tell people
about it and how it works. Okay, well, the book goes through all the different treatments that are available for chronic pain, starting with surgery and pharmaceuticals and injection therapies for pain. And then it gets into some of the alternative, in fact, just about every alternative that I could find, including physical therapy, massage, exercise, different kinds of mind-body treatments, including cognitive behavioral therapy, therapies that have been developed that are that help with psychological trauma. I get into low-level laser therapy, which is something that was very new to me, but is an amazing treatment for chronic pain. It just uses light to heal, to speed up healing. I get into marijuana. And for each of the conditions or each of the therapies, I get into what the technique is and who does it and what the research actually says about it, because your doctor will say, oh, that's not going to work if you mention alternative treatment, or that's not been proven. But in my book, I have over 600 research citations that list the articles, the studies that have been done that show whether the different treatments are safe and effective or not. And when you look at all those treatments, the worst ones, the least effective, most risky ones, are the ones that we use the most, the pharmaceuticals and the surgical interventions.
Well, yes, go ahead.
And at the end of my book, I do talk about the Pain Treatment Parity Act that I was talking about earlier. It has the full text of that at the end of the book.
Okay. So that's the petition that you were referring to?
Right.
Okay, that you want to have created within the world. And I actually am looking at your website, CindyPerlin.com, and I see the petition here, and it really is very comprehensive, and I think it might be a good start for getting congressional change or having something provided for people to be able to have access to healing modalities that are not toxic and promoted by the drug industry. I think that that's an important step for people to take. So I am recommending that everyone who is listening do go to the website CindyPerlin.com, CindyPerlin.com, and click on the petition, because if we can get this going, if we share it within our own networks, then there perhaps can be something to come of this. And really, it does take individual action to make this kind of change real. So I'm encouraging everyone to do that. And also, when you sign in on the website, you have access to the tips, the five free tips for pain.
The five best self-help tools for healing chronic pain.
Excellent. And so are you also in private practice still?
Yes,
in
I am,
Albany?
In the Albany, New York area.
So would people also make contact with you through your website, or do you have other information you'd like to share?
Well, if people want to know about my practice, they could go to my practice website, which is peakmindbody.com, P-E-A-K, mindbody.com, and that will tell them all about what I do in my work, which is psychotherapy, trauma techniques, and biofeedback.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So peakmindbody.com. Excellent. I am very happy that you had an opportunity to join me this morning, and I think you have some good advice to offer people, so perhaps they will take advantage of that and make that connection to your work. So,
I hope so, too, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're very welcome. And we have been speaking with Cindy Perlin, and she is the author of The Truth About Chronic Pain Treatment. And we've just been talking about the question, do we really need opioids? And it seems that the answer to that question is perhaps not. Perhaps we can get along without them and find other ways to manage our pain. So I want to thank you again, Cindy, for joining us today. And remind you that you're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, and I'm Catherine Davis. On this program, we cover a number of different issues, and certainly dealing with illness, dealing with chronic pain, is one of those issues, or learning to deal with our emotional, psychological state of being is another of these issues that we like to address as we move through this program. I wanted to share another bit of information, because it has a relationship to what we've been speaking about. And that is simply this idea of cultivating a healthy relationship with the medical profession. And of course, in order for this to happen, it requires that that the medical profession itself takes its opportunity to reintegrate back into community level of expression. When I was growing up, I had a doctor, my family doctor, his name was Dr. Good, which is kind of interesting in that. But I remember the way family doctors used to work, and in the sense that they had a relationship with the family. So the family doctor I had when I was a child was also my mother's doctor when she was a child. And so this doctor initiated his relationship really with my grandmother as the parent of my mother and aunts and uncles, and then with each of the siblings of my mother's siblings going on to be the doctor of their children. So there was a shared history and a shared understanding of the issues that were at play in the family. There was a understanding on the part of the doctor of what the vulnerabilities might be, either genetically or culturally in a particular in the family. And there was a real relationship. And while there was always a, you know, a payment, you know, you go to the doctor and you pay for the doctor's time, it was a very different kind of relationship than we see nowadays, where everything is in many ways controlled by the healthcare system of, you know, you have to get permission to see certain doctors, and the doctors have to give permission to work with you in terms of your healing and treatment. But also, the doctors of now are very much educated towards and really promoted to the, you know, through the drug industries to use certain kinds of treatments. And I remember doctors being so holistic, being very much about whatever it is that you need. Maybe it is that you need to talk. Maybe it is that you need nutrition. Maybe it is that you need some kind of intervention. But the interventions were very folksy at the time. Now, of course, I'm speaking about the mid-50s to the, about the mid-60s in the Bronx. I lived in the South Bronx. And so I'm bringing this up because there is growing in the Bronx another really special organization, which is called Communal Doctor Patient Healing Alliance. And to me, this is really important to see that there is an organization that's working on recreating this mobilization for community health, safety, productivity, and on a grassroots level, where community leaders are coming together with doctors for an alliance to create a better understanding and better care between the medical profession and their patients, and doing it from the perspective of community. And so I wanted to give you an opportunity to connect with this organization. And it's the Communal Doctor Patient Healing Alliance. And they are having a unique town hall style health fair, kindling our natural healing virtues from the grassroots up. And it's featuring generous experts in the field of medical science, as well as specialists practicing natural healing. And they'll be available throughout the session and beyond. The regular health care services and gifts known to a normal health fair are also available for you to participate in. But however, this particular event and approach focuses and spotlights on attending patients who will share real illness experiences for rallying common basic needs, interlinking good health, safety, and productivity. And so the theme of this event is restoring doctor-patient mutual trust. And the topic being shared is how poverty breeds ill health. And it's going to take place on Saturday, April 2nd, and it will be in the Bronx at the New Covenant. And that's 1175 Boston Road in the Bronx, 10456. And again, it is Saturday, April 2nd, starting at 11 a.m. For those of you who want more information, you can call 718-284-4453, 718-284-4453. 214-4453. They have another number, which is 718-328-6072, extension 100. 718-328-6072, extension 100. So that gives you an opportunity to check that out. And if you didn't catch the information, as well as my other announcement for an event that's also taking place in the Bronx, which is actually tomorrow, Saturday, March 26th, Assemblyman Latoya Joyner invites you to her second annual Women's History Month Wellness Celebration. It's free. Actually, both of these events are free. The event, the Communal Doctor Patient Healing Alliance, which is on Saturday, April 2nd, is free, but they do welcome your donations, so obviously they can benefit from your support. The event that's taking place tomorrow in the Bronx, Saturday, March 26th, is absolutely free from Assemblyman Latoya Joyner, the Women's History Month Wellness Celebration, and it's at PS 073 The Bronx, 1020 Anderson Avenue, 10452. And for information about that, it's 718-538-2000. If you miss the information, you'll be able to find it on the PRN.FM website. Go to the Heart of Mind radio page. And following the show, they'll be putting up the information. And you can find the links and the phone numbers to connect with either of these events. So I hope that you will take advantage of that. And for those of you who are doctors who want to connect, practitioners who want to connect with listeners, if you are working on a project that's community-based, I invite you to connect with me, Catherine Davis, here on Heart of Mind Radio. Because while I do enjoy bringing you authors and teachings, and I bring in a lot of segments of people who are well-known and well-traveled, and while those are beneficial, I also feel that it's important for us to connect with each other on the local level. So I want to bring to you events that are occurring in the Bronx, that are occurring in Brooklyn, that are occurring in Staten Island, Manhattan. So if you have information, if you have connections, if you're working on building a community-based project in your neighborhood, then I invite you to connect with me and let me know what you're doing. And that way, we can expand upon this. Because I believe while we can get the inspiration from the big-name guest or the well-known guest that is inspiring and is useful, in order to do the work of moving through the stages step by step of our healing process, of our self-transformation, it requires ongoing support, ongoing connection through communicating, through talking with each other, through gaining access to various healing modalities at an affordable rate. And so that's what I am hoping to promote within our listening audience, that opportunity. So for those of you who would care to engage in this process, please do connect with me. My email is heartofmindradio@gmail.com, and my phone number is 347-480-1694. 347-480-1694. And we also do have ongoing at this moment a support group, the Heart of Mind Spiritual Support Group, which is really about this very thing. We have so far had about 3 meetings, and we are meeting at gathering in Brooklyn the third Wednesday of the month, and it is more or less from 7 to 9 p.m., and if you want more about that, learn more about that, you could connect with me as well. And in each of these events, some of them are bigger than others, but in each of these events, we also have healing circles, where because we have healers who are part of this group who do different forms of healing modalities, and we work with whomever comes in to help lift that energy and support on that energetic level, as well as through dialogue on a mental, psychological, emotional level to support each other into full growth and expression, because that is really the goal. That is what we all are here on this planet to do. And one of the things I wanted to speak to you about is this very thing. When we look at the world in its fullness, we can see that we are impacted by many things. We are impacted by the political milieu in which we live. And when we look at things like the elections and the candidates, and we see the rhetoric and the negativity, the buffoonery, the all of the characterizations that are going on about the need for, you know, to keep America safe, or the need to, you know, fight against this and fight against that, I think it's important for us to keep in mind that a lot of this energy that we're witnessing in the political milieu is designed specifically to disempower the masses. So we wonder, why is it that, you know, one of the candidates might be so loud and boisterous and inciting so much negativity and conflict in his rhetoric? And then another candidate might be there trying to bring, you know, statesmanship back and you know, supporting them for whatever their cause is of being strong and being able to be a leader and all these things. And then we have the alternate candidates who are also talking about bringing up the other issues that are perhaps more relevant to the everyday human being. But whatever it is, it's important to be able to look at this as a witness and step back from it and not be drawn emotionally into that dynamic. Because in part, what the media is doing is using the dynamic of rhetoric to keep our minds and our spirit and our energy occupied, and by capturing the attention of everyday, all of us, really, and drawing it into that toxic thinking and worrying and fretting over these issues is a way of reaching into your physical body, reaching into you energetically, and weighing your energy down, creating in you a density that will prevent you from acquiring, accessing, and demanding your own liberation. So I'm just saying it's really important while we look at it, while we witness it, while we understand the dynamic, in order to really comprehend how to function successfully in the world, we have to withdraw our energy from that. Because it's when we withdraw the energy, it means that there's less of us to feed upon. These systems are feeding upon our human energy, our spiritual energy. So we can pull that back and begin to focus into our own inner selves and allow our beings to stand apart from the madness that we see in the world. And really, this is part of what is spoken of in, some of you may have heard of this ascension process. This process really is a process of unification, unifying our inner being through our inner being, the physical body with the soul self, with the spiritual enlightening that comes from source, with our energy vibration that flows through our body. And what we can do is we unify these various facets, each like a diamond, of our being, and allow them to merge into one being. And this merging of these diamond-like facets of our being is really what builds and creates within us this soul presence and soul power that some refer to as the Merkaba, or the ship, the vessel, the full, complete vessel of our being that allows us to move through our space, to expand the capacity of our understanding and our being able to draw upon and draw in our lives a certain strength and power of creating our world, creating our help, creating around us that which we want to sustain and be the truth of our reality. So what happens when the media pours out, spews forth toxic mental energy, it captivates and takes and feeds upon the energy that we need, the resource and the focus that each of us individually need to enter into our own powerful state of creation. And that is why it's so important to separate from the madness of the world and bring your focus to the interior of your being. And as we do that, we begin to open up a portal in, from which flows naturally this innate power, innate consciousness, innate abilities to have a field around us, a field within us that allows us to exist in a state of peace, in a state of joy. And so I want to encourage you to think about doing this. And for me, this is really what meditation is primarily about. I think meditation is useful and important for healing, for reducing pain, for de-stressing the body. But after you move through those layers, and in moving through those layers is in a way separating ourselves from the external madness. But once we reach into that relaxed state, we can go deeper into the fullness and the truth of who we are. And then it's then that when we can really stand up and be strong in our sovereignty and in the essence of who we are. So this is really where our support group, the spiritual support group, it's really what the focus of this is. It's about, of course, releasing the stress, dealing with whatever illnesses or state of depression we might be in, and relinquishing that, surrendering, and allowing that to dissipate. But the real power is in going deeper within ourselves and accessing these internal portals, and they're like dynamic vortexes that we have within our body, within which we can reach into our greater self and bring that wisdom forward into our thinking process, into our feeling process, into our doing process. And as that happens, we become quite expansive and quite capable of redirecting our lives. And as we do this collectively, we can redirect the political milieu within which we live. So pulling the energy out of politics, out of the focus of politics, not saying to ignore or not vote, but energetically, emotionally redirecting into the self, into the fulfillment of self. And it's in doing that that we begin to have the sense of joy flowing through our inner being, and that sense of uplifting light feeling flowing through our being. And as that flows in from our core, from the heart, from the solar plexus, from the lower abdomen, it comes through the energetic system, the chakra system, but it's even deeper than that, into the very core of the invisible within us. And that energy flows out and begins to flow forth as if it's radiating from your fingers. It radiates through your words. It radiates through your skin and has an impact in the field around you, and has a controlling, I won't say controlling, influencing force on your movement, your goals, your growth, your building, your creating within the world. So it's a way of falling into alignment with self and source. I And we do invite you to do that, because that is what is the joyful state. And joy is a state of being. It's not something you do. It's something you are. I want to thank you for joining me today. You've been listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I want you to stay tuned for more great programming, and tune in again next Friday morning at 10 a.m. for Heart of Mind Radio. Bye for now.